Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, or riches. Ye cannot serve God and riches. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now the Lord, we know, will add his blessing to the reading of his word. These lovely words from the Lord Jesus to the disciples so long ago have implications not only for those in the meeting who are not saved, but for the believer as well. The Lord is emphasizing that anxiety, as far as this life of ours is concerned, for those who are saved, it's not at all necessary, because he says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. And he gives us the example of the fowls of the air and the lilies of the field. And yet we acknowledge that this is something that characterizes even the believer. Anxiety. Now, I'm not ministering the word of God tonight, but just in passing, let me say that worry is not trusting. That has been a help to me in my Christian experience. And so the Lord is telling us that it's not necessary to be overburdened with anxiety. Not only that, down in verse 31, he tells us it's not worthy of the child of God at all. Because he says, you'll be clothed and you'll have everything as far as this life is concerned. But you see, what the Lord is emphasizing here is, the most important area of our life is preparing for the kingdom. Now what I want to say tonight particularly will be wrapped around verse 33. Listen to these words again as I quote them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he says, all these other things, a better reading, shall be added unto you. Oh, I want to ask you, friends, tonight, at the very outset of our meeting, in view of the uncertainty of life, none of us know what the morrow will bring. How many there are tonight, and they arose well and strong as we have done, and tonight finds them in eternity. And the Blessed Master is emphasizing the all-important thing in life is seeking His kingdom. Seeking it. Life, my friend, is marked by uncertainty. That's what the Lord is emphasizing. That's why there's urgency linked with the preaching of the gospel. And not only that, the coming of the Lord Jesus is so very, very near. We sing, don't we? We can almost hear His footfall on the threshold of the door. And the child of God sings truthfully, my heart is longing to see Him evermore, and to be with Him, and to be like Him. But dear unsaved one, let me remind you this evening, if you ever expect to be in God's heaven, you're going to have to make one mighty effort to seek the Lord. To seek first His kingdom. You see, you and I were born on the outside. Because of Adam's sin in the garden, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so the whole family of humanity is plunged into that poison stream in Eden. And we come into the world, sinners of Adam's race. You and I need a Savior. And friend, apart from seeking God's kingdom, you'll never, never be in heaven. So the Lord is emphasizing in this section of this chapter the impossibility of serving two masters. You see, people in our day relegate to different areas of life what they put priorities on. And most in this world are interested in success. Someone told me the other day the three most important things in their life were success and money and friends. Now tell me, friend, what are the three most important things in your life? And what heads up the list? Oh, if only we could get this over in the meeting tonight. That it's God's kingdom that you should be interested in. Not serving this world and its treasure or its fame or its riches or its popularity. That's why the Lord Himself said, no man can serve two masters. It's an utter impossibility. But notice what He says very quickly in verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, I want to say, friend, that God wants you to seek His kingdom firstly. It should head the list in your little experience. I may have mentioned one night before in these meetings, it doesn't matter, I'm not infallible, and my messages aren't all written out like some preachers. But I was preaching in Los Angeles not too many years ago, maybe 10, and a young rock star that had risen right to the very top, and had cut his golden record, and at everything at his fingertips, Freddie Prinze, 21 years of age, put a revolver to his head and sent his soul into God's eternity. And you know what he said? Is this all there is? this, all there is. Oh, my friend, I want to remind you tonight that there's more to this life of ours than just living here. There's that vast, unending expanse that we know is eternity, to live parallel to the life of God while ages roll on forever and forever, either in God's heaven or in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. My friend, this is why God wants you to see first His kingdom. You remember He said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The new birth, a spiritual birth, is essential. I remember so well, over 46 years ago now, about this time of the year, a burdened soul listening to the gospel, I made up my mind, if there's salvation for me, I'm going in for it. I put it first. Friend, that's what God demands. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But I was thinking too that not only does God want you to seek it personally, He wants you to seek it singly. You see, that puts everything else out of your activity. No man can serve two masters. You see, most people have diversified interests in this world. They have a little bit of pleasure, and they have a little bit of religion, and they have a little bit of something else. But God demands singly seeking His Son. That's why He says, strive to enter in. My friend, until there's that mighty effort made on your part, as others have discovered in these gospel meetings, they put it first. They put themselves under the sound of the word of God, and they sought the Savior. You know what the prophet says? When you seek Him, He'll be found of thee when you search for Him with all your heart. Our friend, it must be singular. But I was thinking too, not only does He want us to seek it singly and firstly, but it's simply His kingdom. Someone perhaps is asking the question tonight, how can I seek the Savior? You see, friend, it's God's salvation on the one hand, and the joys of heaven at the end of life, or it's the pleasures of sin that are but for a season, and then the eternal burning. Simply, oh, the utmost of simplicity, our Lord Jesus spoke when He was here. You remember He said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many there are in simplicity have heeded that invitation and simply believed God that Christ died for their sins? Again He says, not only to come, but He says, look unto Me and be ye saved. And one looked by faith to the cross. Oh, how simple the language of the Master. Again He says, he that heareth My word and believes God, believeth on Him that sent Me, hath everlasting life. Friend, tonight, salvation is so simple. And yet perhaps there's some in the meeting and you're stumbling over the simplicity of it. Many years ago when the great D.L. Moody was preaching in the city of Chicago, One night, there was a businessman that remained behind to speak to him, and there was a little girl. And he spoke to the little girl very, very simply, and went over the simple plan of salvation, because you know the Bible says, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter therein. And so he went over the simple plan of salvation to that little girl. And he turned after a time to speak to that businessman from some huge combine in that city, and he said to him, "Sir, I hardly know how to speak to you," knowing the position that he had. And he said to Mr. Moody, "Just speak to me the way you spoke to that little girl." And in a simple, childlike manner, that dear man took in that same message. Oh, friends, tonight, this is what God wants you to take in. I know that likely all in this meeting would acknowledge that I have sinned. I have never met anyone that failed to acknowledge that they had sinned against God. It's an absolute impossibility to live apart from sin. But listen, friend, God wants you to recognize that because of sin, not only have you sinned against God, but you're guilty. And because of your sin and guilt, unless in faith you believe that Christ bore those sins upon the cross, you'll never, never be saved. Ah, friends, tonight, I wonder, am I speaking to a soul in the meeting? And you realize that I have sinned. I have never yet sought the kingdom of God. I have never yet sought salvation firstly in my life. But friend, God wants you to be absolutely honest. You'll never be saved, take it, that God will have to save you. You know, sometimes people think that. God knows that I'm a sinner, and if I'm going to be in heaven, God will have to save me. Listen, friend, you'll have to seek Him with might and may. Not only simply, but again, it's sincerely. You know, God knows an honest heart. I could show you numbers in the Word of God tonight. And God saw the honesty of their heart. That man in Luke chapter 19, when the Savior passed by, he was an honest seeker. He said, "He has climbed up into the tree. He overcame every obstacle." He was absolutely sincere. And friend, that's what God is looking for. I trust there are souls in this meeting tonight. And that the Spirit of God has convinced you of it. That you need a Savior. That you're in danger of perishing. Oh friend, if you would put salvation first. You see, the Savior is calling, but I know there are voices that call in this world tonight. The voice of fame, the voice of the friends. And the devil says, just put it off. You've got lots of time. Look, friend, God will bring you to face this matter if you ever get salvation. If you question for one moment your need of a Savior, God will bring you to face that before you're ever brought to Christ. I trust, friend, tonight, that as my brother relates his testimony, I've left him half an hour, that you'll be enabled to understand simply that Christ took your place. And if you believe God tonight, that precious blood that was shed at Calvary and was shed for your sins, you'll never perish. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And God says, all these other things will be added unto you. God bless you.